Westside Baptist Church in Newnan, Georgia, brings you our weekly podcast. We hope you will be encouraged by our music and a message from the Word of God as we present our Sunday morning and Sunday evening services and our weekly broadcast by Dr. Melvin Payne. We thank you for listening.
Unchanging hand. Oh, hold stretching hand. Build your hopes on things eternal.
you don't know the story behind the song, let me just tell you, Brother Chuck, my brother, my middle brother Clint, wrote that song. And he was pastoring at the time, and this man and woman was going through a hard time. They were going through financial problems, marriage problems, and they just said, we feel like nobody cares. We feel like we just can't go on. We feel like we just, there's nothing there that we don't know what to do. And Clint went home and he said, God, I got to tell him something. You know, you don't have words all the time, you know, and you feel like you need to tell him something. And God said, he says, like God said, write this down. And he said these words, word for word, these words. And I love that. And when he gets to that second verse, and he was reading this to them, and he said, it's all in the Bible. He said, you don't know what to do. He says this right here. Listen. This is true. This is what he told them. You can go and ask Abraham, walking up that lonely hill, and ask the widow about that time her empty barrel was filled. Go and ask Peter down in the jail the night the church of God prayed through. He said, he's never failed one yet. He won't start with you. Aren't you glad about that? Oh, so through the valley, deep or wide, or on the mountain peak so high, when you're happy or when you're just sad, he'll be the best friend you've ever had. So if you feel when you can't go on, my God will be there to see you through, 'cause he's never failed one yet, and he won't start with you. I know my God, he's never failed one yet, and he won't start with you.
Good now. All right. Well, good evening. The Lord led me to have a short message tonight because he knew there was going to be some testifying going on. I'm going to be a little different than Brother Alton. I'm going to tell you the text to turn to, and then I'm actually going to read it. Thank you very much. I'm not going to keep any secrets from you till the very end. It's going to be kind of out in the open what I'm doing. I was pulling for you this morning. If I'd have been trying to do that about halfway through, I'd have slipped up and said, thankfulness, forget that, it's an attribute, you know. You did good. I appreciate the message this morning. Turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 20, if you will, please. I'm going to try to dovetail in with the hind end of his message tonight. We all have situations that we don't feel too thankful about. We don't want to rejoice too much. But I believe this story of Jehoshaphat will help you maybe. Before we start, I want to tell you a story. I don't know why people send me things about old age. But apparently there's a pattern going on here, and I get a lot of little things about old age. And I was told these two old men met. One of them's about 80. Another one said to him, I heard you was getting married. He said, yep, it's the truth. He said, well, you're 80 years old. What are you getting married? He said, do I know the woman? And he said, no, don't think so. He said, well, is she good looking? No, not real good looking. She got money? No. Well, she must be able to cook like crazy then, right? He said, no. He said, you're marrying a woman that can't cook, isn't good looking, got no money. Why in the world are you marrying her? He said, she can still drive. I think that's a true story. I'm not sure. There's not many blondes in here. I'm going to go ahead and tell this and get you in the mood for some preaching anyway. Those ladies of you that are blonde, please forgive me. But I did read this. I read that there was a blonde wolf that got caught in one of those bear trap things and chewed off three of her legs, and she was still caught. It took some of y'all a while on that. That's pitiful. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. I'm going to go ahead and read some scripture here before getting in bad trouble. We're going to begin in verse number 6. I'll give you a little bit of background. Jehoshaphat is a good king. He took the throne when he was about 35 years old. He reigned for 25 years. He was one of those kings that was classed as a good king. There were a bunch of bad kings in the day, but he was a good king in the southern kingdom after the kingdom split. And he did his best to get rid of idol worship, tore down some groves and tore down some of the idols. And he sent Levites, the wisest Levites, throughout the land to teach morality and religion and the law. So he was doing the right things. And he's given some information here that there are three kingdoms coming against him, three vast armies coming against him. And they're named here, and we're not going to go into all that. But there's three enemy armies coming against Jehoshaphat and his people. And we're going to pick up in verse number 6 where he assesses the situation and does some praying. Beginning in verse 6, and he said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou the God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thy hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it unto the seed of Abraham, thy friend, forever? And they dwelt therein, and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, if when evil cometh upon us, as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction. Then thou wilt hear and help. And now behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us, to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. Picture is, Jehoshaphat said, back in the day when we were coming out of Egypt as a nation, we came through, and Lord, there was a group of people that wouldn't even let us walk through their land. And we wanted to kill them, and you said, no, don't do it. They're kinfolk, let them lay. And said, now those same ones are coming against us, and they want to destroy us and remove us from the land. And it's just kind of like what we say every once in a while. This don't seem fair. This doesn't seem right. Lord, look what they're doing. And we were so good to them. Just look at it. It's not fair. I'm not going to preach much on not being fair. There's a whole nother, we could go a whole nother route. But we're going to just take a look at the text here. By the way, I used to work with a guy named Barry White. And he said, not the singer Barry White, but the other one. He said his kids would always complain. It's not fair, Daddy. It's not fair. You know, she gets this and I don't get this. He said, I told him, The fair is where you go and eat cotton candy and ride on the Ferris wheel. This ain't fair. This is real life. Live with it. And so sometimes life doesn't treat us fairly, but that's okay. We're on God's side. Okay? Now, I want to give you three things that Jehoshaphat did here that I believe that would help in the victory. There's three principles or three stages that we're going to go through here of his dealing with praying to God in how to deal with the enemy. Number one, he cranks up the praise machine. Okay, this is what you were talking about this morning. Sometimes things aren't too thankworthy. You look around you and it doesn't look like this is worthy of giving thanks, but give thanks anyway. Isn't that what you said? I thought it was. Here, Jehoshaphat looks around, he's got an enemy all around him, and they're bigger than we are, they're tougher than we are, they're better equipped than we are, they're coming to destroy us, and so he begins by praising the Lord. Second thing he does, he takes a look at the problem, assesses the problem. Here's what the problem is so that it can be fixed. Now, the one thing that you need to understand is Jehoshaphat didn't say, "Now I know what the problem is, now I know what to do." Not so. He said, "Here's the problem," but then he said, "We look to you." Okay? And a lot of times that's what we ought to do. Some of the guys in here are probably worse than most of the ladies about this, but I'll just speak about me. When I have a problem, I want to fix it. Andy said a little while ago, folks came and helped him work on his truck. That's a good thing. In a normal time, he probably wouldn't ask for help if he's like most of the guys that I know anything about. I don't want somebody to have to help me. I want to do it myself. I want to fix things. And spiritually, that's not the right way to go about doing your business, okay? We don't need to try to fix our problems. We need to trust a God who is able to fix them for us, okay? And so we see those three things. Did I get to the third one? I just got two, didn't I? Yeah, praising and then assessing the problem. And the third thing is then he implores God's help. Okay? He looks to God for the answer. Now, the same prayer that we're looking at, and we'll look at those a little bit in depth, the three other things that are in the text that will help us, or help me a lot anyway, there are three knots, N-O-T-S, three things that are not in here, that are negatives. I'm going to give those to you. And it's questions that he asked. In verse number 6, he says, "Art thou not God in heaven?" Aren't you God? Are not. That's the question. Are not you? And then if you look in verse number 7, he says, art not thou our God who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people? And what he's asking here is, did you not? Did you not drive out the enemy? Are you not God? Did not you drive out the enemy? And then the third part of this question is in verse number 12. He says, O our God, wilt thou not judge them? Art not thou God? Did not thou do these mighty things? And number 3, will you not now drive out our enemies before us? If you stop and think about this, it's a mighty simple assessment of the whole situation. And I want you to understand something. This is all directed to God. How many times have we had the enemy come, and call it what you will, you know, if it's the devil personally getting you, if it's some of his little demons that are personally getting you, if it's somebody in your family, if it's something on the job, if it's something at the church house, when the enemy comes, too many times we look at the enemy a lot, we look at ourselves a lot, and if we try to assess the problem and try to do any fixing, it's more about us than it is about God. He said, aren't you God? Didn't you do these wonderful things? And the third thing, now, won't you fix me? Won't you help me? Won't you deliver me? Glory to God, we serve a God that is able in every case, in every situation, no matter what nor how big, our God is able to take care of our issues of life, okay? And it's just like that little song you just, that little song, that big old song, that big old high song that you just sang. He's not about to start with one of us or with this church in failing and not being able to fix something, able to defeat the enemy. Okay. Now, here's what I want to do. I want to give you the three principles, if you will, one by one, and honest before the Lord. This won't be long. Verse number 6. He praises God in verse number 6 for two things. Number one is who He is. O Lord God of our fathers, aren't you God in heaven? Isn't that you up there I'm talking to? And don't you rule over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might so that none is able to withstand thee? Let me encourage each of you and a little bit for me. We have enemies. I think it's Brother Alton that told us today, or maybe it was Wednesday night, that Satan hates your guts. And that is a quote. I don't talk about guts very much, but he does, so I can quote him and get away with it. Satan hates you and me and would do anything in his power to see us either lost again if he could work that out. If he can't work that out, he'd love to see us dead or defeated. He is against us every step of the way. But thank God for the word of Jehoshaphat here and said, aren't you that God in heaven that's able to defeat the enemy? Isn't that you? And absolutely it is. He is praising God. He's initiating praise on his behalf. And I can't emphasize enough how important the message was this morning about giving thanks. And now here, the importance of us being willing to praise God even in the situation when it's not too praiseworthy. What we like to do, Brother Dave, you can probably help me with this. You can say amen at the right place. What we like to do is wait until things are really, really going good to do most of our praising. Okay? I don't know about you, but I like smooth sailing. I like things that are just hunky-dory. Okay? No problems, no big mountaintops. That's okay. I don't have to have real high mountaintops if I can avoid the real low valleys, okay? I'm okay to just be status quo, just right across here. No problems, no issues. That's nice. And when that happens, boy, I tell you what, don't we like to praise God for it? Oh, I tell you, God's so good. I'm well today. Amen. Well, God's the same when we're sick, too. God's the same whether you're here or at the house in a hospital bed. It really matters not to Him. He's the same all the time, and He is powerful enough and big enough and God enough, if you will, that we ought to be praising Him even when things aren't going too hot in our lives. I read about Jehoshaphat here, and being such a good king and being so powerful in his testimony and in his practice with the Lord, I'm not sure, the Bible doesn't say, but I'll tell you what he would be prone to do if he was me. If it was me, I'd be saying, now Lord, have you forgotten how I've been serving you? I'm teaching Sunday school. And Lord, I attend real regular over at the church house. And I'm like Brother Alton, I get all excited when I've got a check I can toss in the pan and say, Lord, I've taken care of you like you've taken care of me now. I'm obedient. Lord, have you forgotten? Jehoshaphat could have easily had that kind of an attitude. He could have caught that look at me attitude and said, I am doing what's right. I've torn down the groves. We're getting rid of idol worship. I got Levites all over the countryside out here teaching folks how to be morally straight and religious and do right and follow the commands. Lord, you haven't been watching. But that's not at all what he said. He said, Lord, we got some enemies out there. Lord, let me remind you what you've been doing for us in the past. You're our God. You've helped us whip enemies. You've given us a promised land. And he just started praising God. can't remember where I heard this, but it fits in a lot of cases. Listen to this. And if I've already told this one time, it's okay. Y'all don't listen good enough to take notes on this stuff anyway. You probably forgot. You're just like I am. Here it comes. You ready? From the day of your birth till your ride in a hearse, ain't never been a day that couldn't have been just a little bit worse. Isn't that good? That's deep, isn't it? That's profound. I wish I'd have said it instead of just copying it from somebody. But the truth of the matter is, we have some problems in our lives, and in the midst of those problems, I'll assure you, you still have something worthy of praise in your life. How many of you are saved? Let me just wave your hand around a little bit. Glory to God, isn't that a pretty sight? No matter how bad life gets, you're still saved. And it might be good for us every once in a while to just praise God for our salvation. And I don't know about everybody here, but I can tell you about me. God saved me, amen, biggest day of my life. But He didn't quit blessing as soon as He got me saved. He didn't say, all right, you've got yours, that's it, done. Oh, no. He's been mighty good to me over the years. He has blessed me by calling me into some little ministry. I get to teach Sunday school class. I get to preach every once in a while. Glory to God, I'm having a good time. God has been good to me. He's blessed me. He's blessed me with some measure of health. And by the way, I don't care how bad you feel tonight, God has given you enough health and enough well-being for you to be here. Amen. That's worthy of praise too. Praising God even when the enemy is camped at the doorstep. No, that one wasn't too good. I think when he got done doing this with that microphone, I think he dipped it in that water too. That was a little bit gross, by the way. I don't usually get hung up on stuff like that, but I'll every time somebody stands up here with a handheld mic from now on, I'm going to see that thing wallowing around up there in your right guard. Second stage of the second principle is in identifying this problem. We've already talked about the problem a little bit. But he's very careful to identify the problem. And could we do one thing? Could we back up just a couple of verses? I'd like for you to see something. This good king got an enemy, and we've already got him down to praising the Lord and assessing the problem, and he's looking up to God. I wish you'd look up at verse number 3. The Bible says, and Jehoshaphat feared. He feared when he got the news. This is that good king we're talking about. This is the king that we're using as our example tonight of how for us to deal with enemies. He feared. Now, the neat thing about it is, in verse 3 it says he feared, but then he set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. Okay, that's where our paths diverge. Okay. Sometimes when we fear, we don't proclaim a fast. When we fear, sometimes we don't get real busy on serving God and seeking His face. But this man, even though he feared, he said, you know what? We need to pray. We need to set a fast. We need to get right with God and seek His face concerning our issue. And so the second thing that we're talking about here is identifying the problem. Verse number 12, verse 10 it starts with, he identifies two problems, external, internal. Look at verse 10 and 11, please. Now behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us. Take a look at this, Lord. They've come in to cast us out of your possession, which you gave us to inherit. And so there's an external problem. Most of the time, we deal with the external problem. That's the one that gets us. We don't want to admit that we've got an internal problem. We want to talk about the external problem, because that way we can point the finger at somebody or something and say, there's the problem out there. And he did that to begin with. He identified who the enemy is. I won't ask you for a show of hands on who the enemy is and stuff like that. I mean, you know, we got husbands and wives sitting together and friends sitting together. So we don't want to say, who's your enemy? Okay. But the truth of the matter is, it's an easier thing to look outside to where the problem is rather than look on the inside. But unfortunately, a lot of times, we got more problems on the inside than we do on the outside. Verse number 12, this is the internal problem that he's assessing here. O Lord God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might. We, your people, me, the good king, and our army, we have no might. Look what else. If I can find the verse again. We have no might against this great company that comes against us. Listen to this. Neither know we what to do. Are you listening to this? This is the good King Jehoshaphat. This is the good king, the victorious king so far. And he says, Lord, we've got that enemy out there. That's the external problem out there. But the main thing that we need to deal with is the internal problem. We've got no power. We have no might. We don't have strength. And besides that, we don't know what to do. How many times has that come across your lips when you're having a problem? If we're honest, the truth is that most of the time, if we'll just admit it, we don't have the power to fix it. Didn't Jesus say, without me, you can't do anything? We have no power of our own. We are a weak and sinful and desperate people outside of God and the relationship that we have to Him. That ought to get a big amen. Because the truth of the matter is, we all live there. External, enemy. Internal, I got no power and I don't know what to do. That's just like God wants us. If we'll just go ahead and admit our weakness and admit that we don't know the answer all ourselves, guess what? God can move in and do a work. You ever watched a little tiny child, you know, when they're about two or so, and they're learning how to do stuff? They're cute. Oh, they're so cute. I'm so glad that my grandkids go home, you know, that I don't have to deal with all that child-rearing business again. But you know what? You take a little two-year-old and you say, here, let me cut that piece of meat for you. No, I'll do it, you know. And the little kid wants to do it themselves. That's a good thing. That's fine. Here, can I tie your shoe? And they get it in a knot about that big, and you never get it loose again. You have to chop it out with a knife. But they want to do it themselves. And so many times, we as God's children are just about as hard-headed and stubborn and I'll do it myself kind of a thing. And we want to fix our spiritual problems all by ourselves. And the fact is, we cannot. But thankfully, He can. Third principle. This is the praying part. Look in verse number 12. Somebody says, you just read this and this was part of the internal problem. Yeah, but the internal answer is here too. Oh, our God, won't you judge them? We have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do. But, oh, I'm so glad that little conjunction is there, but our eyes are upon Thee. You can look around all day long and you won't see victory going on. If you look around you, you're going to see other people in the same boat you're in. You're going to see some folks that are not on your side. You're going to see some folks that are not real cooperative. You're going to see some circumstances around you that are not positive and wonderful and great things going on. You're going to take a look around and the problem's going to seem to escalate. But the victory comes when we say, I need to look up. I need to look to Him. He's able. I'm not. And when, what's his name here, Jehoshaphat? He said, we got all these issues, Lord. We're powerless, weak, can't do anything, don't know anything. We are just nothing without you. But we got our eyes fixed on you. Didn't the psalmist say, my help cometh from the hills? He said, I'm going to cast my eye that way because that's where my help's coming from. Guess what, folks? Our help's coming from above. And we ought to, and I don't mean you have to walk around like a, you know, looking up physically. But our thoughts, our requests, our needs, our handout, we ought to understand that it's going to come from above. We can't muster it up all by ourselves. God's going to have to do it. Somebody said just a few minutes ago, every once in a while, tell somebody they're a blessing, okay? I'll just go ahead and take my opportunity now. Y'all are a blessing to me. I appreciate you, okay? One by one, I'll get to you later. But for right now, let me just say that this church is a blessing. I'm glad to be here. I'm glad to be a part of you, okay? Glad y'all welcomed me in almost 8 years ago. And so far, there's been no votes to cast me out. Okay, I'm glad of that. But the truth of the matter is, y'all can't help me near as much as my God can. Keep your eye going this way. Okay, keep looking up. Our redemption draweth nigh. Here's what Brother Melvin would say right now, and I'm going to say the same thing. I'm not going to launch out into preaching prophecy right now. No, we don't have time for that. That'll be for another day, okay? But wouldn't we be happy to hear that Jesus is coming again, and we believe it's mighty soon. We're going to have an escape out of here one of these days pretty soon. We're leaving this place, and we're headed home. And guess where home is? It's the same up where we've been looking for our victory now, okay? Keep looking up. He's coming again. Now, I think I'm done. I got a lot more that I could say and would probably enjoy saying. But I'd like for you to just stop and think about old King Jehoshaphat. Good king, but he had problems. We ask the question every once in a while, why do good things happen or bad things happen to good people? We ask that question. And the answer is not really quick coming back. I don't have an answer for that. Except that I can say there's no good people. You know, none good, none doeth righteous, no not one, that kind of thing. But y'all know what I'm saying. I'm talking about God's people. Why do bad things come into our lives? I can't tell you the answer to that. Can't tell you why. But I can tell you this for absolute sure. We serve a God that knows where they're coming from. We serve a God that can do something about them when the time comes. And the truth of the matter is, I hate to say this on such a lovely Sunday night. I hate to say this, but a lot of times, the bad things that come into your and my good lives, a lot of times, they're for our benefit. A lot of times, we take those things and, boy, it's a struggle. It's a hurt. It's a pain. But when we get on the other side of it and we look back and say, you know what? I see now God's hand was working in this thing. God had something good for me. So I want to encourage you. Step number one, begin praising. Oh, but the enemy's too big. Oh, my problem is too great. Oh, my situation. You just don't understand. I don't. He does. It'd be a good time to start praising the Lord. Don't wait until your problem is all plumb fixed and you're smooth sailing again to start praising Him. Because the truth of the matter is, we're not sure it's going to get again. Have y'all been reading your newspapers and watching the news and stuff like that? It's liable to get a little worse than it is right now, folks. I hate it that it's coming on my country's soil. I'm an American and glad to be one, okay? And we're still the most blessed nation on this earth. But the truth of the matter is, I believe we're going to suffer some persecution. We haven't yet very much. I mean, California did. What starts in California usually comes this way, okay? It's heading east. We're liable to see some right here. I found out the other day in watching the news that they've got active investigations over active terrorist cells in every one of the 50 states, including Alaska and Hawaii. In every state, They fear that there is an active ISIS cell in every state. That means Georgia. We're liable to have enemies at the door, literally at the door, or at the spiritual door where we live. We're liable to have big-time enemies. What do we do? No. Jehoshaphat started off praising God. God's still able. God still loves you. God's still in the saving business. We witnessed that this morning. God is still saving souls over here at Westside Baptist Church. All the sinners that get saved over here aren't old sinners, though. We saw one today, a teenager got saved. Thank God for that. Count your many blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. God's still in business of blessing you and me. And when the enemy comes, not if, when the enemy comes, God will be able to see you through it. Praise Him, number one. Take a look at your problem. No problem with assessing the problem, with diagnosing the problem. Go ahead and do it, okay? But just understand you can't fix it. And then number three, pray and keep your eyes on Jesus. All right, let's bow for prayer and stand to your feet, and we'll have an invitation, altar call. Heavenly Father, this wasn't much. Lord, how we rejoice in the fact that there was an old king that had an enemy, and the solution for him was to look to you. And so we believe that still works tonight. God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for watching over us. Thank you for every victory you've won. And God, we pray, thy will be done. Lord, if there's one here tonight, maybe facing a situation, they need to come to the altar. The altar's open, and Lord, we know that you're available to us. You never sleep, never slumber, but it seems like altar call is about the best time to do business with you. And so I pray, Father, if there's one here tonight that facing some kind of an enemy and no solution in sight, God, help them to turn their eyes on you. We're going to thank you and praise you for what you do in this hour. And God, we just pray, thy will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. One more thing. If you read the rest of the chapter, you'll find out that God dealt with the enemy. And when the enemy came to invade, something happened. God worked a miracle. And they started killing one another. And the Israelites didn't have to go to battle. They stood back and watched. And when it was all done, all the enemy was dead. They went out and plundered and took spoil, and it was a marvelous victory that God won for them. God will win victories for you. The altar's open. You come if you will.
Have thine affections been nailed to the cross? Is thy heart right with God?
Just obey the Lord
all
tonight.
Things for Jesus.
Just obey the Lord tonight.
But loss.
Yes.
Heart right with God?
Is your heart right with God tonight? Is there something that you need to address with Him and let Him take
God?
Care of? Maybe it is an attitude. A situation that you've been forced into, whatever it might be, God's an old-time God tonight. Yes.
Humble and lowly.
Yes.
Of God.